Well, if you wanted some entertainment, maybe you'll get it, maybe you won't. Podcast about Brian being gone and Beth's decision and KF's reaction and Drake saying stuff, and it's a good time. It's a good time. We're glad you're here. Welcome to the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Couldn't do it without you. Let's have a day. Let's go. So you want to be a part of the Washed Up Walk-Ons, Gary? How you doing?
I'm doing good. You know, every day is a gift. I remember that.
Yep. That's a good way to start the podcast. Yeah. Let's just
Is that not true?
I think it's absolutely true.
Yeah. I mean, we're lucky to be able to be here. We're both healthy.
Yeah.
Living and breathing.
Yep.
Could be a lot worse.
Even if Drake's going scorched earth.
I mean, that's, I think that's its own thing. Is that fair?
Yeah, it's its own thing, but it's going to be tonight's thing. Gary hopped on here. We didn't have any conversation before this podcast. So the infrastructure of how this show is going to go is going to be, kind of explained amongst me and Gary on the fly. Kevin also isn't here tonight. He was working like he does. He's had to catch a flight at 7:30, and we're recording this at 7:30. So
he's a busy dude. People need Kevin or knees.
Yeah, Kevin is legitimately busy. Drake is also not available. But indefinitely unavailable for this part of the podcast.
Yeah, it's a shame because I didn't. I talked to Drake for like an hour yesterday.
Yeah, you did,
and you were busy. You had Kinley's first Halloween. Totally makes sense.
That plus a few other things, but yeah.
Okay, well, we can maybe talk about that, or maybe not. I don't know. But I haven't talked to you since Sunday, and much has happened since then.
Oh, so much, so much has happened.
Yeah,
a lot of people are coming to this episode of the show. And I think, unfortunately, for better or worse, you're going to be disappointed. Because one, Drake isn't here. And I think, and I'm just projecting here, but I'm going to guess that a lot of people wanted to get on here and hear Drake either further dig himself into a hole. There's a contingent of Drake. I don't know what you would call them. But like, you know the saying, it's like a car crash. You just can't look away.
Okay.
Drake is sometimes a car crash. And even though you may not enjoy what's happening or the circumstances, you still pay attention and you still watch. It's probably the best way to describe Drake, in fact. And so I think there's probably a lot of people that tune into this episode to hear Drake come on here and continue on his escapade, which has already been done at this point.
I think he's got it all. I think he's got it all out now.
Because he gave you and the DHT listeners, the Patreon Walk-On Army, about 9.5 minutes, 10 minutes of Hellfire yesterday.
Have you listened to that?
It is one of the few that I have tuned into because I needed to know what was being said in prep for this podcast. I apologize also because I have so many thoughts running through my head right now. And the last 2 days, continuing into tomorrow, because I'm going back and forth to Iowa City these past 2 days. Shout out to the Northwest Wolves of Waukee.
The what?
The Wolves.
I'm sorry, you glitched out when you were saying the
message. Right.
Could you say that for me?
Yeah, the Wolves. I'll pronounce it like everybody would like me to, just to oblige people. But I believe it's pronounced. I don't even know if I can say it right. Wolves. Wolves.
Now I'm saying it. I don't even know if I'm saying it correctly anymore.
No.
It's like if you say any word enough and think about it.
It just sounds like that. How it sounds like gibberish.
Is that how it's pronounced?
Shout out to the Wolves. Pronunciation doesn't matter. They beat Ankeny Centennial today in a 5-set thriller match in Extreme Arena, a place that Grant and I sat and watched friend of the show, Bailey, play Iowa volleyball. Iowa High School Volleyball is the show there this week, and the Wolves of Northwest will be appearing in the state championship game tomorrow of 5A against Dowling Catholic. And I will be in attendance again. So as many of you are probably listening to this podcast or shortly after you guys are listening to this podcast in the morning of Thursday, I'll be in Coralville watching some volleyball for the second day in a row. That obviously requires a lot of driving back and forth, about 2 hours from here to there. So I'm tired. The wife coaches for Northwest. They are staying in Coralville tonight. So I had the kid by myself today. And other stuff going on, work, all the things. So I apologize. I say all that to apologize because my thoughts and the amount of things that I want to kind of hit on here between obviously the whole, I forget what it's called, the ground zero of this podcast and the drama this week is
might be a little bit of a stretch for, or maybe what? It's not. It's ground zero.
What is it not?
I mean, I don't know. I mean,
I was trying to look for the word.
We're recording it right now. Like it's.
I was trying to look for the word of like the Big Bang, like the initial point of the big, like, I don't know what they call that.
I don't know.
Anyway,
that would require more thought. Why don't we go chronologically?
Make
it easier for everyone.
We need to do that. I do want to, yes. And I do want to preface this with, because Kevin's not here, I'm going to save like our deeper opinions on the Brian being the Brian announcement. I'm going to save like the extended stuff for when Kevin comes back.
You got to give some opinion though.
I will.
Okay.
I will. But Kevin's obviously not going to we're not going to just blow by that with Kevin and he's just never going to mention it in his opinion. So,
right.
I won't say everything and I won't go too deep into that. I want to keep this focused on sort of Drake, the announcement, Drake, our podcast, and then obviously a little bit of the Brian stuff as well. So Monday rolls around, doing my normal stuff. I'm on my way to the grocery store and I start seeing some tweets. And as bad as I think the Barstool Iowa account is, I think the first tweet I saw was the Barstool Iowa account relevant to this topic.
That'd be funny. It's like, please make sure you credit Barstool Iowa for breaking the news.
they didn't break the news. Shout out, and David. It read something cryptic like, if the news I just heard is true, the nightmare may be over or something like that. You know, dot, 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 dot. Please interject, ask questions, get me back on track at any time.
Just keep going. You're doing great.
And so I'm like, okay, well, that only pertains to one thing, but who knows, right? People have been saying shit. There's always rumors. It's Barstool Iowa. I don't trust them for shit. Then I see a couple other tweets from, tweeters of the Hawkeye ecosystem that are, you know, tweet stuff about Iowa on a consistent basis. I'm like, okay, now I'm seeing some more stuff. And then eventually it gets released that I think David,
a friend of the show, David Eichel, was the official newsbreaker.
He broke it, which this gets right into it because on the front side of this, I don't know if this was supposed to be out.
Yeah, that's his job though. That's not his fault. If he has people confirming it to him and he knows it, like that's not his fault anymore. Like
I know it's not David's.
That's his job.
I'm not saying it's David's fault. If I'm in his position, that feels like an absolute gold mine.
It is. Like I think his tweet about it had like over a million views within an hour.
You know, like and because he's the first one to officially do it from the reporters, which, total sidebar, I sent some jealousy and some other stuff from some other reporters that I saw, because I saw a couple other reporters say something like, gonna wait until it's official, but there's supposedly some big news, like not gonna put out my official tweet. No. And they were kind of like, you know, like that silent subtweeting.
There's some beef between the Iowa Big J's.
People don't like Eicholt specifically, you know, he's the young gun. And there's a couple of the guys who I saw like tweeting, they were subtweeting Eicholt. Anyway.
I think he's just doing his job. I don't think there's anything wrong with what he did.
And I don't know who Eicholt's paying off or how that industry works, but this seems like a decision that would be kept under wraps, not told to a lot of people, you know? Wouldn't you think?
No, I think the earliest anyone found out about it was Sunday. And it sounds like, based off the press conference, I think Kirk said that he was informed about it on Sunday as well. Which, like, there's always some people that there's like the Woges of the world and like that just seem to figure out everything no matter what. And like no one actually knows how they figured it out. But this stuff always happens. Like, I think every single news release gets broken earlier than it's supposed to. That's just the world we live in now.
Who is the fucker on the inside who's like,
it's Connor Stallions.
Give me $20 and I'll give you some good info here.
Yeah. No, I don't know. What.
Anyway, it gets broken and I'm like, okay, well, this is big. Obviously, all of Iowa, the entire nation, this is big, right? Brian Ferentz will no longer be returning. And in fact, let's just let's bring the release up here.
Sure. Because there was a, it was a weird morning for sure.
It was an incredibly weird morning. Okay, so here it is.
Let's see it.
Share the screen. So on the YouTube, you can see it for the listeners. Anyone who loves Iowa football recognizes both the success and challenges that have brought attention to our program this season. Our struggles on offense, coupled with the offensive coordinator's contract, make this a unique situation. Get back to that in a second because I got some thoughts. After conversations with head coach Kirk Ferentz, coach Brian Ferentz, and President Wilson, I informed Brian that our intention is for him to be with us through the bowl game, but this is his last season with the program. Making this known today is in the best interest of the program and its loyal fans. It provides clarity during this pivotal time in the schedule. Come back to that as well. It is not my practice to be involved in assistant coaching decisions, and certainly, so we get a direct contradiction here. Because in this last sentence of the second paragraph, it says, making this known today is in the best interest of the program and its loyal fans. It provides clarity during this pivotal time. Then the first sentence of the third paragraph immediately says, it is not my practice to be involved in assistant coaching decisions and certainly not to make public during the season. I don't know if anybody picked up on that. I haven't seen anybody else say anything about that. What I get out of that is kind of what we just talked about. It was leaked and they basically had to say something about it.
Yeah.
Our priority is to put all of our student athletes in the best position to have both short-term and long-term success on and off the field. Our football team has a group of outstanding young men and talented athletes who at 6-2 have a lot to play for. As a former athlete, I know every opportunity to put on the jersey is a cherished one. As Hawkeyes, let's continue to support all our coaches, staff, and student athletes in their pursuit of a Big Ten championship and bowl game victory. And that was put out by interim AD Beth Getz. So obviously the inconsistencies with those two sentences back to back, go a little bit further up. And I know there's, you know, then so on that chronological timeline, obviously this happens Monday. This all comes out Monday. About a day later, yesterday, KF holds his press conference, right? Probably the toughest press conference that he's ever had to do. And probably one of in the most annoying way, right? Because I'm assuming he knows that this was not supposed to get out, right? And they're all like, you know, the assumption here is I think everybody knew, and maybe there's some people out there who believe otherwise, but I think everybody knew Brian KF included, that this was probably the most likely thing, is that Brian was not going to be returning. I believe that. I know a lot of people out there will say, like, Kirk would have had Brian run the 10th worst or the 130th worst offense in college football out there for the next 20 years if he could. I don't believe that. I do believe that KF is old school, and in the same vein that we've had the conversation of some of these head coaching hires, and some of these conversations may have been before you came in, Grant, but we've talked on the show before about how nowadays in college football or pro football, it's you either win or you're fucking canned.
Right? Oh, yeah. No, that's 100% true.
And I think that in the past, and maybe I could be wrong on this, my brain could be scrambled, but I'm pretty sure Kevin Drake and myself were all kind of on the same page where we think that the leash that's given to head coaches when they take over a program and sort of what's acceptable nowadays within an administration and such is way too short. And that comes from our perspective, knowing how long it takes to put a team together, especially one that has your guys, like you have to recruit your guys into the program. I think Kevin and Drake and I were all on the same page of like, you need to give a guy 4 or 5 years. You need to get his first recruiting class all the way through the program. After that, if they're not seeing anything and they've got an entire program full of their guys, can them, right? Kirk is along those lines. Kirk is going to give more chances. And I know it's his son. It adds a layer, right? That probably gives another one or two chances in the back pocket. But I think that regardless of offensive coordinator, even if it's not Brian, it's just some other guy, I think Kirk still hangs on longer than all of the fans and a lot of people wanted him to hang on, because he just is old school and willing to try and work things out and really grind things through and try and figure it out, solve the problem, and get work done. I think part of that is because he knows that just hiring somebody new, just next guy up, right, doesn't always just work like people think it's going to.
No.
That's me psychoanalyzing what I think Kirk thinks. Anyways, all that to say, I think people saw the writing on the wall. This was the end of year 3, correct? Yeah, 21, 22, 23, where things had gotten really bad on offense. And maybe you could call that shorter than 3 years. I think obviously the 21 middle 21 season when we lost to, I think it was Purdue and Wisconsin, was super unfortunate. And then obviously these last 2 years have been pretty bad. I think they knew it was on the wall. I do not think this was supposed to come out right now.
You think they had come to like a mutual decision or?
No.
Okay.
No, I don't think it was. And this is my personal opinion.
Okay.
This is the Tyler Kluber podcast.
Yeah.
And maybe Kevin and Drake have, well, no, I don't think we'll get to Drake's opinion in a second, but, in my opinion, it would seem from Kirk's presser yesterday, which he was not only annoyed, but he was, for lack of a better term, like sad. I think.
No, I watched every minute of it. He was not in a good mood.
As he should be, or he should be allowed to be. This was not, even though I think he knew that this was coming, I don't think he's happy about it coming out right now, for one.
Yeah.
And two, I think that he knew that he was basically going to get, this is really lack of a better term, but like, I'll just say big timed by Beth Getz. And maybe some other pressures. There's a lot of people out there going, well, yeah, the donors stopped. You know, I've heard a lot of donors are dropping their money and all this stuff. The donors love KF too. I don't know if donors are involved or anybody else in power is involved.
But no, I agree. Yeah.
I think this is Beth's decision.
Yeah. And in the press conference, he made that seem like, I think someone asked him a question about it. He said, like, his answer was like, well, I usually am not for a decision like this in the middle of the season.
Yeah. He resorts back to his, you know, it's, we'll evaluate our players and our coaches in the offseason and all that stuff.
But I'm guessing, I guess, like, more of my question was, and maybe I didn't ask it correctly. Like, you think that, so Kirk gets informed about this Sunday, right? You think that they had a mutual agreement between Brian, Beth, and Kirk that this wasn't going to be released till after the season? Or, like, do you think it was still going to come out this week?
I believe, yes, what you just said is true. I believe that this has been, I believe that this has been probably, this isn't a decision that's just made willy-nilly, first of all, right?
Yeah.
So Beth has been thinking about this for, I don't know, 3 weeks, a month, the entire year. Who knows? And I believe that when she informed Brian and Kirk of it, that the understanding was, we're going to announce this. We'll announce this after the season. Yeah. I think that they, I think they would have waited to announce it until after the bowl game.
Okay.
That's my opinion.
Interesting.
And that would have been their understanding between all three of them. Then I don't know who, this is the part that baffles me or confuses me, is who does Brian tell? Who does Kirk tell? Who does Beth tell? Somebody, obviously, or someone's like outside the door of wherever they're meeting, like with a, you know, the, some like a cup phone trying to listen in. And they're like, oh shit, we got the information. I don't know how it gets out from there, but it did. And then David Eichel reports it because he, I don't know, he knows all these gremlins that have all the inside information, and and here we are. But yeah, I think it was, I think that's how shit went down. That's how I would guess.
Okay.
Drake. Oh, Drake.
I was going to make a joke yesterday. I was going to put something on Twitter. I was like, think about getting back on, haven't been on Instagram in a while. Does anyone ever post any discussion on the Iowa Hawkeye football on there ever? Does that ever happen on Instagram?
Fucking man. Your Twitter's been great, by the way, lately.
Oh, thank you. What do you think of that idea if they did, if Kirk actually did that? So now, like, Brian's not returning. He's like, well, good thing we've been working on Spencer as the GA, just to make people very upset.
Spencer is the OC. Would be the big, I'd laugh my ass off. Kid might, hey, he might throw in some crazy shit. He came from, I think he came from much more of like an air raid attack and out in
Spencer.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Marin or Marin, however you pronounce it. Like,
don't say that. Like, I know the high schools of, I just know he had crazy stats.
It's also California lacrosse. High school powerhouse.
Oh, okay. That makes sense. Anyway, Drake gets on there Monday. This has all come out. People are talking, all this stuff. Drake decides to give his, we'll call it a one paragraph opinion on his Instagram story, which is great. He doesn't have Twitter. And for those that have made it this far and listened to me ramble and are wondering where Drake is, where they could get a little, a nibble of Drake. He, not by my hand, because I'm going to get to that in a second too. A lot of people are out there like making jokes like, oh, is this, is, does Drake get a 2 week timeout now? Or is this, for now? And he seems pretty serious about it this time. Although I have my doubts. Drake has said that he is no longer going to be a part of the Washed Up Walk-Ons Monday and Thursday podcasts. So for those who do not subscribe to the Patreon or come to any of our events that are sort of few and far between, shout out next Friday, Back Pocket Brewery, 6 p.m. Hops by a Million release.
Very excited.
Got to see the first six pack today.
Wow.
Yeah. Took some promo pictures. Tasted it too.
You tasted it.
Had to for the pictures, man.
You were forced
they had
to?
Yeah, they had to get me sipping the beer.
What's the review, though? I mean,
it tastes like beer.
This is the part where you say, like, this is the best beer I've ever had.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Quite literally the most delicious nectar that's ever touched my lips.
There you go. Okay.
Just couldn't be better. Sweet nectar on my tongue.
Yeah, proceeds go to a great cause, though. proceeds go to the Children's Hospital, please.
Proceeds do go to the Children's Hospital. We're trying to drink back pocket out of their supply next Friday, November 10th.
What a better way to... I can't think of a better way to contribute to charity.
I can't either.
Anyways, Drake Kulik.
Drake Kulik. He's said that he's no longer going to be a part of this Monday, Thursday washed up walk-ons, basically the free portion, the portion that's always been around since the beginning. He is done with that part of the show. He is going to continue with our other two podcasts that we do weekly, the Dickhead Tuesday that we call DHT, the Drake and Gary Friday, which I believe is called DGF.
It's just Drake. It's Drake and Gary Friday.
Drake and Gary Friday.
We have a lot of acronyms that all sound the exact same. So
Drake will still be doing two podcasts a week. This is not me selling you on the Patreon. I'm just saying and pointing it out that for now, and I would say definitely through the season, my doubts come after the season, like when we get guests on and stuff. Drake is not going to be here. Now, that may push some people away because people are here for Drake and they're here for the crazy shit that he says. If it becomes known, it might bring more people in. Cause I know there's a lot of people on the other side. They're like, I've seen it a million times though. I'd listen to them if they didn't have the MAGA supporter Drake Kulik on there saying crazy shit all the time. Like, okay. So I don't know what this does for the brand. That's another discussion or a deeper discussion. The reason for that is because he is to the point, and this is my interpretation after listening to the 10 minutes he gave you on DHT yesterday, a very fiery 10 minutes, if you're interested and haven't listened. He basically says that he's to the point where, and I guess this Brian thing pushed it over the edge, he just no longer...
He says he's just done with, like, he doesn't, he feels that he doesn't need it anymore. That was his quote.
Yeah.
He says that I don't need this anymore.
He says a bunch of other stuff that quite frankly is very over the top, very aggressive towards the Hawkeye fan base. Probably not so much like our direct listeners who kind of like ride with the walk-ons and listen to this show, but of large majority of people out there who you can find on social media, or just like, I don't know. He kind of just generalized. I was going to play the 10 minutes actually on this episode just to like, hey, here's Drake's last 10 minutes, but he saved that and kept that for DHT for a reason. And quite frankly, I don't know if I want to play it. I don't think it will make people happy. In fact, I've gotten several people who are like, Drake's 10 minutes to open DHT was really bad. Like, that was really bad.
Bad in like what way? Like, they're like, it should have brought like a script or like.
No, I think they're very impressed with how put together and well thought out he was.
Yeah,
I think a lot of people are like kind of taking it personally, and
I think it's way too over the top. I'm Drake's friend. Drake has done a lot of favors for me and has helped me in my career, just as you and Kevin have. But there were some things that you can see my face. I was just sitting there for 9 minutes, just taking it. And I was like, wow, this is
right.
And there are some words being said right now.
Take what he put on Instagram for anyone who saw it. And I can read it real quick. I will read kind of a Cliff Notes version of what he put on Instagram. Drake basically said he tagged Beth Getz. Come on. What are we doing?
Oh, he didn't. He tagged her three times.
I only see it once.
There's three of them.
Oh, he tagged her and then says, basically, you pretend to want what's best, but you're causing more turmoil by doing this midseason. I'm leaving out expletives and Drake sounding like he didn't go to school. This is ignorant. You don't know anything about football. He put in some capitalized ha ha ha's in there, laughing at Beth, I guess. He calls her a politician with her eyes closed, listening to the mob, and then calls her a coward and a fake leader of the university. Okay. All right. Great. Drake Kulik, everybody. Drake Kulik. All right.
This is Monday, by the way.
This is Monday.
Yeah. What are you? I mean, you follow Drake on Instagram. You see?
Oh, yes, I do.
What'd you think? Because you just met Ben very recently.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, you said it went very well.
It went fantastic, and that's part of this because I've gotten a lot of people that are sending messages about this too, and mentioned it in the Discord, mentioned it on Twitter. So welcome to being a friend of Drake Kulik, essentially. Car crash, right? You only get the good if you're willing to get the bad as well. Drake is very easily misunderstood as a person by a lot of people with some of the stuff that he says.
I'd say that's fair.
He's also much, much, much smarter than he comes across on the podcast. And I don't even think I can overstate that. He's actually smart as shit. Why he doesn't sound smart sometimes is because what he lacks in life, and it's what makes him, is a give a shit governor.
He doesn't filter out his opinions.
There is no filter anywhere at all, ever. He is naturally that way, and he happens to be in a position in life where he can be that way with no consequences, which is a very free place to be. When he's tied to a brand and a couple other guys who do a podcast, it doesn't necessarily hold up across the relationship there. So I don't even see this on Instagram.
You didn't even see it?
He screenshots it and sends it to the Benton message.
Oh, okay.
Like kind of proud of it. I read it and I immediately basically do what probably everyone else did when they read it. And I was like, Jesus Christ, Drake. Fucking A. And what's great for y'all when y'all read it is it's just entertainment for you. But for me, I know what ensues after that. Because he is one third of this brand. One fourth, if we add Gary in there. He is connected to the Washed Up Walk-Ons. Obviously, people are going to insinuate that or presume that these opinions or more thoughts from Drake or whatever is going to be coming in more nuance and detail on the next podcast, this podcast. And so even though it's on his personal account, which I tried to do a little bit of damage control with on my own personal account.
I think you did what you could.
Because it is nice though that we have the three of us get on this podcast and talk and we have collective discussions. And a lot of the times we do come to an agreeance or a disagreeance on certain topics, issues, whatever. There is still a individual brand to each of us, to Kevin, to me, to Drake, where we can share stuff on our own personal accounts. And they, you know, I feel like this is the moment where if I'm like a real boss and this was a real company, you know, I kind of say to Drake, hey, we need to put in your bio that your opinions are not that of your employer. Yeah, this is not fun for the guy who runs the brand, right? Yeah. You have access to the Twitter, Grant.
I do.
And it's been on fire the last two days.
Yeah, so someone screenshotted it, obviously, and put up on Twitter.
And I thought we were going to get through it because this happened sort of midday afternoon on Monday, and it did not get screenshot and posted to Twitter till like noon yesterday. We were almost there.
Yeah. No, it's like, I think it was like 11 is when I first saw it. But no, so I want to bring something up. If you had to, we talked about before, you had that tweet about that went kind of viral at like 167,000 views. That bigger than like that's reaching outside the Iowa fan base.
Sure.
How many?
What was that about again?
It was your like shtick on people liking football.
Oh, yeah. Fuck those people.
That had 167,000 views.
How much did this one have?
If you had to guess how many impressions this tweet has, what would you guess?
God, I mean, now that you're asking me the question, I'll put it at like three times mine, like maybe 400,000 or 500,000.
No, but it has 286,000 impressions. Over a quarter of a million. That is way outside of just Iowa Twitter. That's like that's a big chunk of like college football Twitter accounts.
Yeah. Which, by the way, about the time that Drake screenshots it and sends it to us and says, he kind of captioned it and said something about Brian in the text message. I also get several text messages sent to me, a couple DMs. They start coming in about, the first two I read were something like, well, I guess Beth isn't going to be a guest on the show anymore, is she? And I'm like, what happened? Like, I'm like, what's
that was
happened?
That was the first thing you saw?
Yeah.
Well, it is kind of crazy. Remember, nearly 290,000 views. The ratio on it is like 59 replies, 56 quote tweets, and just 40 likes. Like, that is insane.
Jesus Christ.
It was already up. Like, it got a bunch instantly. I saw it. I was like, well, this is I'm sure everyone's just saying super wonderful things.
Drake obviously took crazy heat on Twitter, and I've got all that pulled up. Oh yeah, here's one. Washed up Walklands. Well, the day finally came. Deleting this podcast because of Drake Kulik, an absolute loser of a person. Dude's brain is mush and has the IQ of a potato. Which is kind of funny, because now all these people who are like, Drake took it over the top, I'm out because he's a douchebag. You're not getting Drake anymore. He's gone. So if you don't like Drake, this is the time to come on in.
I guess. Yeah.
So, okay. Not great. Not great. And Drake is a big boy. He's entitled to his own opinions.
He is.
He is an adult that is my peer and my former teammate, and one who I fully understand more than 99.99% of people who know who Drake is or have ever met him. This situation for him, and I'm not going to speak for him, but this situation is tough for him. It's tough for me and Kev too, in a smaller way, because this is family. This is,
You guys know Brian and Kirk personally,
just like teammates that we respect and enjoyed being around and creating a brotherhood with. Brian is a part of that,
for sure. And a lot of people recognize that, by the way.
They do.
I saw a lot of people saying, like, yeah, I mean, he's definitely has an emotional connection.
Not enough people recognize it, but some do. Enough do. In a way, and consider this for everyone out there, that we don't look at Brian like you guys do. When Brian Ferentz's name gets brought up, or we read it somewhere, or we hear it, the first thing we think of is mentor, brother.
By the way, I just saw on my phone, KF has released a statement.
I saw that right before this podcast. I saw that. KF is here to stay, bitches.
I just got it sent to me. Do you? Yeah. I was gonna say, do we need to?
Read it. It's short.
I didn't want to interrupt, but I was like, no. I might have breaking moves.
I'll come back to it, but just I saw the statement. I was going to open with it, but I forgot.
Okay. I'm sorry.
No, you're good. Do you want to read the statement quick?
Well, okay. From the desk of Kirk Ferentz.
Love that.
While my immediate focus is on finishing the season strong, I love coaching, and my intent is to continue coaching here at the University of Iowa. Yeah. We have built something very special here, and I plan to coach until I am no longer passionate about the game, players, or coaches.
Yeah, yeah.
Signed, Kirk Ferentz.
Yeah, give me 10 more years.
Which is like, I think he was like, hey guys, just relax. Because personally, I mean, I've if you asked me 2 weeks ago, I would have said, like, yeah, Kirk's going to finish out his contract. Like, Kirk's, like, he can do whatever.
I would have.
I saw the press conference yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, I have no idea anymore. That is the most angry I've ever seen him publicly.
You want to know what I think?
A football sideline.
You want to know what I really think personally? If it was me, I'd be done. In the era,
you're not Kirk Ferentz.
But I'm not Kirk Ferentz. Not even close in so many ways.
Yeah. Like, there's a reason why we're doing a podcast right now on Kirk's.
And he's like got 7 million a year of
college football.
You're right. And I've seen this kind of tweeted out on certain people and have given this idea. It's like, if there was ever a time within the infrastructure of college football that made sense, right? He's already past retirement age.
Yeah.
Especially as a coach, right? Mm-hmm. He's got all the money in the world. Legacy set. He's done basically everything. And now, as an old, like I said, he's old school.
Mm-hmm.
He may be able to change and adapt in small ways, but the game evolves. And at some point, I think if you're an old guy who tries to evolve into 100% something new, you're not going to be as effective. You're just not going to be the same guy.
No.
And you might not, staying as you were is maybe not going to be as effective as it once was either. But trying to morph into something completely different is probably a worse idea.
Yeah.
So, transfer portal, NIL, college football playoff is expanding. The Big Ten is now going to be 18 teams. Divisions are gone. Like, it's there's no better time, right?
Yeah.
Now, I respect the shit out of it, and I love it that he just wants to be like, I love coaching football. This is what I'm going to fucking do, baby.
Well, I could see a little bit of him too. Is like, I make the joke about like, he's going to hire Spencer Petras to be the OC just to make everyone mad. I could see him like, he's like, I'm just going to keep doing my thing, which is winning games and playing a certain style of football.
Right.
And I'm like, he also knows like the more he succeeds at doing this, the angrier people get. I think he likes that a little bit.
Oh, I think you like that. I like that a little bit.
No, I like it too. Like, I love just like it's like,
I love to think of like, Kirk sitting down on the couch or like in his office.
Yeah.
In like a nice comfy chair at night when he finally gets to relax. And he's like in his own head, he's like, oh, fucking shit. These fucking people. I win 10 games a year. Oh, shit. They're going to be pissed.
Like, I think every time he has a game, like the Wisconsin game this year, or for a matter of fact, the Wisconsin game last year, where he wins and it's like Iowa had 13 yards of offense, 600 yards of punts, but they won like 15-6 somehow.
Yeah.
And they were like in the lead for 45 minutes of the game. Yeah. I think he goes back and he sees that stuff. Like, he has,
he cuts that out. Puts out
someone, prints out a tweet.
Yeah.
Like, onto a piece of paper and gives it to him. And he's just like, smiles. He's like, oh yeah. Like, every single time. I think he's like, I still got it. I'm just going to keep doing this.
I'm totally.
However, this statement could also be my other idea, which was that, him and if he does want to leave Iowa football, him and Mike Tomlin just switch places in the Steelers. And
I saw
Iowa,
that. And
I'm like, just damn. Remain exactly the same.
I think everyone would be fine with it.
But then the fan bases both still get what they want when they're like, we need a new coach or whatever. And like, they just get the exact same product.
Yeah, you're right.
He does not eliminate that.
I'm down for that.
I want him to be the coach of Iowa though. I don't know. He's literally like, Kluver, he's been the only coach since I've been alive. He's literally the only Iowa coach I've ever seen.
Well, effectively, same for the other, and we're older than you significantly, but same for us, because by the time we knew our asses from our elbow, I mean, it was first grade. No, it was we were in kindergarten when he was
like,
hired, so
I don't know what I would do if I went out there and like Lance Leipold was wearing the Tiger Hawk.
Well, and that stirs another conversation of emotion that I felt for the first time this weekend. And I think that's another podcast. Because, Brian being gone, and it kind of brings us, circles us back around to kind of finish out on this whole this spiel is.
And I got a question for you after that.
Yeah. This hurt Kevin. This hurts former players. It sucks to see a guy that you love not work out. right?
Well, it seems like too, there's a lot of like mentorship and like personal relationships in the that develop between in the Iowa football program between the players and the coaches. Coach there for a long time. Is that, would you say that's a, the case?
2, 3, 4 times more than the actual coaching that gets done or any of the X's and O's shit. Which is why I said, when we hear these coaches, when I hear Coach Wallace's name, when I hear Coach Woods's name, the first thing I think of is not, oh, linebackers coach of the University of Iowa, OC of Iowa. I think, you know what, honest, with Brian, I think first Iowa Hawkeye, like he played for the Hawkeyes.
Yeah.
And then I think mentor, brother, and I think about how good of a person he is. I think of all those things.
Yeah.
And then he also happens to be the offensive coordinator to everybody else. And I understand, like, that's, there's no other way for it to be. You guys, a lot of the people just, you don't have the, you can only have this if you're in the program, but everybody else, it's just OC.
Yeah.
Which is understandable. I mean, it's not understandable, some of the shit that gets said about him, but I can see how some of the opinions, some of the things that are said, come out of other people's mouths a little bit more easily when that's their only relationship. It's just, this is just the OC of the team I like. I don't know him. I've never met him. I don't know if he's a good guy or not. But for Drake, he wasn't just the OC. He was his position coach.
Yeah.
Running backs coach for, or whatever. He was running. He was in the room with him a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some deeper stuff there with Drake as well that I'm not going to get into. And Drake has said on this show that he does two things. He rides for his guys and he talks shit.
He did both of those.
And he does those, and that's what he does. I don't agree with Drake putting that out there, right? It's not something that I would put out there. As you mentioned, I met with Beth Getz. I loved meeting with her. I laid some groundwork.
You said a month ago on it, like Beth Getz at lock for
offseason. She was a lock at one point. I talked to her. She told me in person to my face that she was down to come on the podcast and have fun and record an episode. And this is, you know, I've as the leader of this brand, that sounds so fucking dumb. Like, I'm the leader of this brand, but it's true. You know, for us to be successful and continue to get cool interviews and be connected to the university, I do a lot of stuff behind the scenes that people don't see or ever even hear about. The Beth Getz thing I told people about because it was cool. It was like one of the cool ones.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would like to foster relationships. I'd like to have good relationships, have potential access with a brand like this. And clearly, Drake saying something like that and being a part of this brand, it kind of works in the opposite direction, to put it lightly. And so I see everyone out there saying the stuff like, oh, Kluver does all this groundwork to elevate the brand and try and get in with Beth, and Drake tears it down with one statement on Instagram. And I recognize that. I would be hard pressed to believe that Beth ever sees what Drake said. I don't think she will. If she does, I don't know if she'll even make the connection or really give a shit. She's in a position that where they don't really have time for that. If it was somehow to come back and be like, you know, I reach out to Beth at some point whenever it makes sense, and I'm like, hey, can we get you on the podcast? And that, and she actually responds back with, you know, something along the lines of like, that screwed things up, then that's tough. Like, that's really tough for us, right? But Drake also understands that. Drake is a hothead, fiery guy. And part of the reason, and I think he said it in the Discord, if you're part of the Patreon, you saw it. He said, you know, not only does he not need this part anymore because it's giving him too much negative, but he also knows that because it's become so negative for him, and now Brian's like, the Brian thing and all of that, he knows that he's going to continue to say some shit that's just outlandish and would hurt the brand. And so I'm not the one who's removing him from this show. I'd love to have him on here, but he's removing himself from the Monday, Thursday episodes. And so if you want him, you got to go to Patreon.
He did acknowledge that at the, when I talked to him yesterday, Yeah. Like he did say is like with the way like you want to foster these connections and the way he wants to speak his mind, he's not like doing the Washington walk-ons any favors. He did say that.
And he knows that. He knows that. And so it'll be me and Kevin and Gary. And if you don't like that, then fuck, I'm sorry. I will continue to try and, you know, I still think like I'm hard to believe that, you know, we contact Tristan and be like, hey, Tristan, you want to do your yearly off season episode with the walk-ons? And he's like, hell yeah, I'll come on with the boys. And Drake goes, sorry, I'm not in. I'm not doing it. You know,
I think there will, I asked him about it. He said no, but I think there will be a guest that makes him want to.
I think there will be several guests where he'll be back. If I'm being honest, he's tried to quit the show like 4 times. You know, as much as he wants to, as much as him and the Twitter people want to say, Kluver's just defines CrossFit, bro.
Well, people are now, I mean, there's been some discussion of it too. You guys know Brian, and he's in a few months, he's not going to be a part of the program anymore. Yeah. Is that the potential guest that?
If we get Brian, I think Drake will be back for that one.
I don't know. I mean, like he told me he doesn't think I asked him if there was a guest out there and he said he didn't think so.
I think he's still in the hothead zone, and once he cools off and we're in the off season, he'll come around on a couple of those guests, but I could be wrong. So where does this leave us? Obviously I haven't given my real opinion on Brian being and all that. By the way, one quick thing to wrap up the Drake thing. Part of what Drake said was, and I think Drake's biggest thing, 95% of Drake's quarrels here, is that it came out mid-season. He does not like the timing. The timing of this is not, he has both admitted in a conversation of the Benton Street and within the Discord that the writing was on the wall. Everyone knew that this was where this was going. He believes the biggest issue here, and I can't fully disagree with him, that doing this in the middle of the season, if it was intentional, again, I don't think it was intentional, but if this was intentional to be released in the middle of the season on a bye week, the week after a bye week, like you're in game week after a bye week, the timing doesn't make sense at all, then that does more harm than good. I think there's an argument on both sides of that. I could very easily, because I'll be honest, if this was us and we were in the middle of the middle of the season, this becomes a massive distraction. This is a distraction.
Okay. Top of already the like 25 points a game and all that stuff.
Which the thing I was going to come back to in this original statement of the unique contract, fuck Gary Barta. Barta fucked this whole thing up. That guy is really the guy who like deserves a lot of the shit. He fucked this entire thing up. But that's neither here nor there. I agree. Like this is it's going to be very weird to walk into that building for Brian every day knowing I'm fired. I am not coming back here. Like,
and the players know that too.
And the players look you in the eyes every day and you're like, hey coach, I know you're not going to be here next year, but let's give it our all today. You know, like that's fucking weird. And that does create a little turmoil, like Drake said on his quote and some distraction. And I don't like that. And I think the only legitimate reasons why Beth would do this intentionally is one, from a pure AD power, trying to solidify the position of AD standpoint. Yes, it makes her look great. This is huge. She just played to 95% of the fans, and they, you know, you see all the tweets, hire her immediately, take the interim tag off right now, make her the fucking president of the U.S. Like all these people are like, you know, and I agree. I'm a Beth Getz fan. By the way, Beth, if you ever listen, please come on our show. Like I think you're great. And I don't think your intention was to do this in the middle of the season. But that's one of only two reasons. Program wise, the only thing that this really does for the program is the transfer portal is a thing now. And Iowa is a team that's going to need to, you know, hunt the portal year in, year out. And that is an ongoing thing. It's a fluid thing that doesn't just, you know, there's these portal dates that are like the portal opens and you can go get people and the portal closes.
What are suggestions?
They're behind the scenes, these conversations and
it's to create the illusion that this sure. is all fair.
Program targets and like who the coaches want and the needs of a program and they're positionally like, who do we need to go get? All of that's being discussed and is known and is being worked on right now, even though the portal's closed. So maybe if there's some guys in the portal that are considering Iowa and, you know, but they don't want to come because Brian's the OC or the offensive struggles or whatever, maybe this announcement relieves some of that pressure a little bit to a potential transfer of like, oh, well, you're getting a new OC. There's some hope. I don't think that's enough to do it during the season, which is why I still believe it was not intentional. Otherwise, that's a pure power move by Beth. Yeah. I don't see her as that kind of person. I think she had this thing locked up before. I don't think she needed a power move. So,
So do you think so part of the argument for it too was that it gives them more time to find someone, like get someone who's available for 2024. Do you think they were already doing that then?
As far as an OC?
Yeah.
I don't know about that because unless you're going to hire someone who doesn't have a job right now, right?
Right.
Which usually isn't the practice. Usually you'd want to go get, you know, I've seen some names tossed out there like the OC for Washington or...
Yeah, it's like you're stealing someone who's doing good right now.
Who's got shit on their plate. Like you're not... They're not going to be worried about finding a new job until one comes to them.
Right.
Maybe those conversations are had, but like, dude, the guy from Washington is worried about whoever they've got on their, you know, trying to scheme up plays against whoever they got on their schedule.
They got USC.
So maybe he does have time because their defense is trash. Yeah. But that could be a very high scoring game. I'd love to know the over under.
We'll have to talk about that in the betting segment.
At
around, I'm assuming 3 hours and 30 minutes into this.
No, it's going to come right now because I'm done. I'm done and sick of talking about this and I need to go to bed because I'm coming back your way tomorrow.
But what do you think though? If you had to guess right now,
do they already have an idea of who they want as OC?
Like, do you think they have reached out to them? If you think that it was in the works already, do you think they have begun the search for a new OC already?
Maybe Beth has some ideas or she has been suggested some people. When Kirk gets on his presser yesterday and he answers those questions, like kind of snarky, he laughs and he literally is just like, guys, I'm literally trying to focus on winning a game this week. Yeah. He's telling the truth. He is 100% serious. When you're in the program and you're the guy or you're one of the guys, all of your energy is focused on the team in front of you for that week. KF and some of the they have to deal with a little bit extra stuff. KF does not have time to think about who he wants his OC to be. I guarantee he doesn't have a single name or he could come up with names if you asked him. You actually like carved out time. He's not doing it for himself. He is legitimately just thinking about this week and he will think about that later. Yeah.
Which in that press conference, though, I couldn't get enough of the first like – and like they're trying to do their jobs. Like it's I
how about the guy who called Brian a lame duck? I understand. I looked up the term because I was like, God, that sounds like
it's a political term.
A guy who's like, but like, let's just not say that though, right? To the guy's dad, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I don't know. I wasn't expecting
to find a different way to say it.
Yeah, it is the correct term for someone who is not going to have their job but is still working.
bad term.
Or at least it's usually for the, I think, I don't know if it's exclusive to the president, but it's used now for offensive coordinators. It seemed
exclusively, political, but. Yeah.
But the first like four questions are all like trying to get into the details. Like, how are the emotions right now? What are you thinking about this? And he just gives them like the same, like we're focused on Saturday.
I would not want to be one of those reporters asking. I think Eichholz's first question was something like, is this going to strain your and Beth's relationship moving forward? And I was like, oh my God.
But he has to ask that question.
I know. But like, I can't even fucking breathe listening to that. Like, holy shit.
No, I get it. But like KF just goes up there and he's like, I'm just going to answer the same way. And like you could tell in the room, everyone picked up on it fast. Like, all right. And then I think I think it was Blake was like, well, do you like baseball?
Yeah.
You can watch it. Kirk's like, oh, yeah.
No, you don't get to watch as much baseball as I like. Yeah. Okay. we get to watch a little.
But oh, what about, by the way, is Kirk just a huge Fitzpatrick fan?
I didn't watch that far into it. What did he say?
He just like name dropped, right? He was, I don't want to misquote it. Like, you can go watch it, but I think he said something along the lines of like, he was talking to the poor. He was like, yeah, like Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think, is retired, so I don't think we can go get him. And I was like, is that the number one choice right now? Like, is seeing if Fitzpatrick has eligibility?
I love that out of him.
And I was like, is that like when he thinks like ideal quarterback is Ryan Fitzpatrick?
You see what he did a couple of those games when he got in?
No, Fitzmagic. I mean, of course, like, he's a legend, but I was like, I mean, I don't know. I would have expected, like, I mean, I know he's a Steelers fan. I would have expected, like, any of their quarterbacks first.
But we're not going to get Kenny Pickett, aren't
we? I was like, I called Big Ben, but.
Big Ben said he's done playing football. Any other questions or things I missed on the whole Drake fiasco?
I don't.
/ Brian fiasco. We'll give more opinions on.
I'm sure. I guess we kind of got through, like, you don't think they're. If you had to, like, if you're the AD right now and you have to pick, is there anyone like you want? would you want?
I don't. I've
early,
like
early top candidate right now. If you're in charge, not even like who you think's most likely, who you stealing? You can't say like Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, no. But this is really a bad question for me because, dude, I couldn't even tell you the names of offensive coordinators for other teams. I don't think LaVar's the right pick. I would rather LaVar be the head coach than the OC. And I know that that's been talked about. Although Kirk just said he's fucking coaching for 20 more years. So LaVar better go find somewhere else, huh?
I think LaVar likes his job.
I don't know. What is the...
There's a lot of talk of Paul Chryst, which would also be so funny.
I don't like that. I don't like that at all. Yeah, this
for
guy.
Comedic purposes, it'd be great.
It would be funny. Kalen DeBurr.
That's Washington. I don't think he would leave, though.
I don't either.
I think people were more saying him.
I don't either, especially
people
when
were more. I thought that was more like if KF leaves, he's going to.
Oh, as a head coach?
Yeah. Because is that, I mean, I could totally be wrong, but I thought he was.
Is he their head coach?
I thought he was their head coach.
Oh, well, then he's not fucking taking.
I was going to say, I don't think he's. I could be. I thought he was the head coach.
I don't know.
Yeah, he's the head.
I saw Frost.
Yeah, he's the head coach.
Scott Frost. Touted a couple times by
again for comedic reasons, hilarious choice.
I would laugh.
What are your funniest? Rank them 1 through 3. Spencer, Paul Chryst, and
Spencer's
Scott
number
Frost.
One, dude. He could bring back. Oh God,
what if Deuce Hogan, he
just hires Deuce Hogan out of college and brings him back.
20-year-old Deuce Hogan.
Yeah, 21-year-old third string out of Kentucky. Deuce Hogan comes back to run the offense. Steve Ferentz, his other son,
James, Super Bowl champion,
James
Bronco for life.
We get Bill Belichick to retire from the NFL and come back and be our OC.
That would be a crazy move.
I don't have names, dude. I really cannot tell you like the top five OC prospects of the college football right now. Like, I just can't.
Fair. Do you think, Brian, what are the chances you say O-line coach in the NFL next year? A lot of people felt like that's the obvious next move.
Yeah, I think.
Or do you think he takes a break? He's like, I've done a lot.
Maybe for a year. If there's a break, it's very short.
Because I mean, he's got young kids.
Football
right?
guys are football guys, man.
Okay.
I suppose there is a chance with kids. You never know. Like, he could just say, "Fuck it, I've made enough money. I'm just gonna hang out and live life." I think the easiest move for him, because I'll tell you this, nobody in the NFL gives a shit that he was a bad OC. Nobody.
Well, because I mean, there was like rumors last year that the Patriots were calling him up a bunch already.
They, Bryant, this is like maybe a little known fact. Some of the position coaches in the NFL are worthless. Like, they're not good. It's kind of a spot where college football coaches who want to be like OCs or like aren't good enough, or they just can't. It's not all the time. There are some great position coaches in the NFL. Someone's going to be like, oh, Kluver says there's no good assistant coaches in the NFL. There's some, But let me tell you, just from knowledge of like some of the guys that we had that then moved on to the NFL, or some of the guys that we would see swing around, dude, some of these position coaches are just like, man, because it's just not in the NFL. It's just not as important. You're not developing guys at their position. They're fucking great at football. You just kind of make sure they know the plays and you're there to run the practice. Like, Brian would be Brian was a great OC. There it is. There's the clip. Clip that one. Brian was a great offensive line coach for us. And maybe some would argue against great. He was definitely good. He was a very good offensive line coach for us.
I think you won an award for being the best one.
They won the award my junior season, 2016. I think he was a pretty good tight ends coach for us. Just didn't work out at OC. So I think he's very qualified, especially in the NFL, to go and do that. And then I think after maybe a few years in the NFL, I could very well see him going back to a I don't know if this is what he wants to do, but if he wants to be a head coach, which I think he'd be a good head coach. I know people are going to be like, are you fucking serious? but there's just like the correlation is not like bad OC, bad head coach. Like it's a different spot. I could see him coming back and like maybe trying to work his way into head coaching spot in like a MAC position or like a Conference USA or something like that. Okay. I don't think he'll ever be an OC again.
A Ferentz style of play in the MAC or Conference USA would be something to watch.
Need it.
I would. that would be must see TV. Too mad. They just like Western Kentucky goes out there with three fullbacks.
Two tight ends, three fullbacks.
It's like, fuck. What is that? That'd be like, if you're a diehard Conference USA fan, I mean, like that's a foreign language.
Yeah, that would just flip the league on its head. Should we get into some betting?
Can we talk Northwestern briefly?
Sure. Yeah, because this is going to be called the Northwestern preview. So
that's who we're playing on Saturday.
It is, yeah.
And I say we, but
me and you are going out there. We're playing.
Hey, if coach calls me, I'll be ready.
Okay.
I think I did give up on all my eligibility by
I'm out as well.
By participating in a Betfred sponsored segment, but
we're both out of eligibility, but I would bet that if you ask Northwestern if they're okay with me and you suiting up, they'd be more than happy to see us across the line. So yeah, let's talk Northwestern. They're not a good football team.
Exceeding expectations though.
But they're not as bad as we maybe initially thought.
So they just hit their season win total already.
Of what, three?
3.5.
Oh.
They have 4 wins.
Wow.
And honestly, and like beating Maryland is a huge jump for them. I know Maryland is like the worst team ever come October, but
yeah,
like that's still, I mean, like for what they like that program had 1 win last year without all of the problems.
Yeah, you're right.
And like this is crazy too. I mean, I think their interim coach, Coach Brown, think is it crazy to say that a coach with only 4 wins on the year is potentially like going to be Big Ten coach of the year?
I'll tell you this, if they win out, he will be.
If they win out, 100%. But like, do you realistically think that that's going to happen?
Well, they've got us, Wisconsin, Purdue, and Illinois.
It's not off the table.
If they beat if they stayed with Nebraska 17-9 and they beat Maryland, I don't see any reason why they couldn't beat the last 4 teams in their schedule. I mean, it's the West. We all suck ass.
Yeah, but so, it's just impressive. Like, he joined the program in January. He becomes the head coach late in the summer.
No, for sure.
And then now they're probably going to be in a bowl game.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's he's done more than he was expected to there. And if you just look at Northwestern historically, and I don't know if it still counts because it's not a Fitz Northwestern anymore, but they would give us Fitz. Northwestern gives Iowa Fitz.
Yes.
We lost to him. How many times? Once or twice in a very annoying fashion. Like, damn, we should not have lost that game. The way that Iowa beats teams. So I've always said it this way, or I think it's always kind of been known this way. This isn't a me thing. Wisconsin was kind of the class of the Big Ten West the last decade, right? Okay. Iowa was always trying to play like Wisconsin. Like, we were always trying to be like Wisconsin, and Northwestern was always trying to be like us. Like, as far as style of football, kind of mentality of the program. And there was just like some slight tiers there where every once in a while we could play with Wisconsin. Every once in a while, Northwestern could play with us, but it was kind of stacked in a Wisconsin, Iowa, Northwestern way. And they find ways to be annoying. And yeah, I saw that this opened up at like 29.5 on some books.
So, hey, 30-point barrier shattered. We've done it, people.
Well, I guess we'll find out where it's at here in a second, but
I think I've seen 29.5 and 30.
Yeah.
Congratulations, Hawkeye.
It's cool they're playing in Wrigley. I mean, that's probably the coolest part about this weekend.
So I don't know personally. I'm still undecided, honestly, about going to the game. But I don't love football on baseball fields. How do you feel about that?
I think it's cool aesthetically because it's different.
Sure.
Playing in Yankee Stadium for the Pinstripe Bowl was very, very cool because it was Yankee Stadium.
Yeah.
That was the only cool part about that game. The way that football games work, you know, like sidelines, space on the sides, space in the end zones, it doesn't work well when you put it on a baseball field.
Well, they like measured the end zones wrong the first time they did a game at Wrigley, and they could only go one way. Like offense was only
allowed. I remember that. They had to run down to the other side of the field to kick or something. So, you know, they do it because it's novel and it'll bring in money, and it's like, hey, you want to go? Let's go to the Wrigley game. It'll be the most attended Northwestern game in fucking years, probably, because Iowa's going to pack Wrigley. And it's going to be like 10% Northwestern fans, and everyone's going to love it. They're going to buy beers for $18. Save your money and come to the event next week at Back Pocket, by the way. We'll get to it. I'm going to bet the under, man. I'm taking the under.
Am I a madman for betting the? I talked myself into the over.
I don't think you're a madman.
It didn't work. But what if am I just crazy if I'm like, I've talked myself into the over?
You've talked yourself into two teams scoring 30 points in a game? I don't think that's crazy at all. I think
I've talked myself into four touchdowns, basically.
That's a touchdown per quarter between the teams. Holy shit.
Yeah.
I just want to. Part of me betting the under is I just want to bet the lowest line ever.
I do think though, in your defense, Phil Parker getting 2 weeks to prepare for one team helps the under argument for sure.
I would agree.
But also, I mean, more time.
Deacon came out as QB1 still. A lot of people were hoping not only for Brian Ferentz news, but that we would be starting Labus or Linez or whatever. That's not going to happen, I guess. So. Yeah, man, it's going to be more of the same. It will. There's an interesting wrinkle now with Brian being fired. I mean, what are they going to fire him again? If he goes out there and runs flea flicker three times, is the play calling going to look any different? I don't think so. There's no reason it would be, but like, hey, fuck it. Maybe he just starts running the Vince Young QB option, you know, like,
oh, that'd be Deacon's just run up the field for 70 yards.
Spread us wide. give us double wides. Shotgun with a running back and run Deacon and Caleb Johnson and just run that option, baby. Probably not a good idea.
I don't think we're going to see that.
Okay.
I don't know. Maybe I could be wrong.
I project a low scoring game, a shitty game. Not exciting. I'm going to be at a wedding.
What? That's your like third one this fall.
No, it's my second.
That's too many. That's too many.
You're right. Fuck.
Sorry, I don't mean to bring up a sore subject there.
Not only is it a wedding on a Saturday in the fall, but it's 4.5 hours away.
4.5 hours away?
In the middle of Nebraska.
Are you in the wedding?
No.
What if you get COVID?
I had it last week.
Symptoms are flaring up.
Say, I got it again. That's about all I got. What do you think about Northwestern before we get to our picks here? I mean, what do you think?
I think I like this game a lot more for Iowa coming off the bye. Like I said, 2 weeks to prepare is really
good. A bye is huge, especially for health. Sorry, I cut you off.
Yes. No, I totally agree. And I also think I think Northwestern is totally playing way better than they've expected. I do think, though, like, they're kind of due for a little, like, Icarus moment where it's, like, flew too close to the sun, might get burned. Where it's, like, and this, like, I don't know how much of a letdown you can have after beating Maryland.
Right.
But, like
we beat the Terps.
But, like, for Northwestern this year, like, I mean, you feel like you're on top of the world. You're 4-4 with four games left. Like,
it's funny you bring that up because there was a thought of me trying to, you know, when I did have time to think about this game over the last couple of days, there was a quick thought or a flash that came over me that was like, fuck, does Iowa just win this game like 38-6 or something stupid? You know,
Yeah. No, and I think, I think Iowa has potential too. Like,
I think that could be a scenario.
I think so too. I think given the 2 weeks, like, install stuff that maybe they didn't have time to install before, you get
the Cooper DeJean Wildcat pack. Yeah. Jesus.
All right, fine. We'll do the picks. I mean, you're playing me off like it's the Oscars. All right.
I grabbed the cord and it hit the soundboard button. Yeah, I gave you your music, your red light.
Jeez. I mean.
No, but you're right. The install, the extra, I think the rest and the recovery is the biggest thing. Man, you get 8 games into a season, you're banged up. And KF even mentioned that through the, you know, in between all the other weeds of that press conference, he kind of mentioned, he's like, well, the bye week really helped. We are much healthier coming out of this than we were going in. So,
yeah.
On an already banged up team that's lost seemingly like 7 starters to ACL injuries or whatever, it's like, okay, well, that feels good.
But I feel like a lot of people are so down on the team after, like, especially when that Minnesota loss is brutal. Bad. And then you have to wallow in it for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's like, I feel like a lot of people are down. I'm feeling fairly optimistic right now for this game and the rest of the season.
I think they win this game. I'm going to focus on one game at a time. I'm going to take that KF mentality. I don't even know who we play next week, and I don't care. All right, I think Iowa wins this game. But oh, yeah. Not important. The Friday night before that, though, huge.
There is a massive event at Back Pocket Brewery.
And, God, there's going to be so much beer drinking that night. Drank that night. but, yeah, I see this game going under, and I see Iowa winning. And I see something along the lines of like 21-7 Iowa.
Perfect.
You know?
So there was a question. I think the Cubs scored like 21 points in a game there earlier this season. Does any team outscore the Cubs?
Wow. If they scored 21 runs in a game, I would love a prop bet on that because I would take the no. I would take the, and I would love that. That should take us into the betting segment, though, by
music. Oh.
Wrong one.
Kevin.
Dude, this podcast is falling apart. I'm quitting. Drake quit, and I'm quitting. Kevin's not even here for his own segment. God damn it. I can punch my head through a wall right now.
He also did not send us his picks. So.
No, he didn't.
Should we? I was thinking about this if he doesn't. Just should
pick his own picks?
What I was saying, should we like put all of them because they all have numbers?
Right.
We put them on a wheel and we spin it, and then like he takes the and then we do like red or green. Green is home team. Red is away team.
Yeah,
and those are his picks.
I don't hate it, but we'll probably just text him again and he'll send it to us, and then you can create the graphic off of that. Sure. I'm gonna start with mine, man, and I'm gonna go back to Air Force. Put him in the goddamn playoff. First of all,
the Falcons
put them in the playoff. We're not taking the line, the Air Force line, though. It's an Air Force Army game. This is a matchup between academies, basically.
What about that?
Well, those games usually go under, Grant. And I got to flip back to my page where it was giving me the. Here we go. The overs or the lines. And that game is currently sitting. Oh, that's got to be second behind Iowa and Northwestern. That one's currently sitting at 32. Give me the under.
To be fair, Air Force has been scoring points.
I know they score points, But I just think this is one of those things. It's like when Iowa State plays, there's a magic of the game that happens. Give me under 32 in the Air Force, the Army at Air Force game. We're then going to come down. This is a, I don't know what's happening here. This is a trap line. Maybe you can tell me something about it. Northwestern goes and beats Maryland, and now they are at home, but Penn State goes to Maryland, and I see it at 8.5.
I think Penn State has Michigan next week. I could be wrong.
I don't care who they have next week. Give me Penn State over Maryland -8.5.
Okay.
And then, you know, like I said, you're taking me to the last one. It's Iowa.
You had 8.5 with Penn State. Sorry.
Yes.
Just write these down. Okay.
And then Iowa at Northwestern, but not really. It's at Wrigley. Do I want my official pick to be the under or Iowa -5? I think I'm going to make it Iowa -5.
Oh, wow. That's big for you. That's growth. That's progress.
I knew that you were going to say that, and I don't like you. I'm still going to bet the under in my Betfred sports app, my Betfred Iowa app. By the way, Betfred, shout out to them for being a sponsor of the show.
Love those guys.
Got a new little promo for you, new exclusive offer.
Tell me about it.
Your first qualifying bet of $20 or more, Grant, is going to be matched with a Betfred boost of up to $105 if it loses. So if you bet anywhere between $20 and $105 for your first bet on the Betfred Iowa app using the promo code WASHED, WASHED, promo code WASHED, your first qualifying bet of $20 or more will be matched up to $105. If it loses, you will get a free bet that matches the amount. Pretty great, huh?
So you can't lose if you use the Betfred app.
You can't lose the first bet. Yeah. You can't lose your money.
Hypothetically.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Not advice.
You probably could lose somehow at some point, but
not on that first bet.
But that first bet, though.
As long as it's...
Enter the promo code WASHED, and you'll get that today.
I just love the people at Betfred.
I do, too. Speaking of bets, what do you got?
All right. I've put together 3 picks for the people here. Love that. And I want to warn the people now, you might want to take some motion sickness medicine.
Wow.
Before this, because I've put together 3 picks and they're all absolutely disgusting. Ugh, they make me sick to my stomach.
Where are we going in the country for these picks?
Picking these games is going to be an absolute nightmare to watch them, but I think we can succeed.
Oh, man.
First off, we're going to take the Mississippi State Bulldogs +3.5 versus Kentucky.
Wow.
I trusted Kentucky last week, and they disappointed me.
Is this an emotional bet because of what they did to you?
This is also a personal revenge game for me.
All right.
Against Kentucky. I trusted them, and I was betrayed. However, Kentucky, I think this is a look-ahead spot for them. They have Alabama next week. And I think Mississippi State has been underperforming this year. I think they might be underlooking them, but they have some decent talent on that team. A lot of things going on with Mississippi State that have led to the season not being as good. But I think they can pull this one out or at least make it close. Mississippi State +3.5. I've seen them play good before. They beat Arizona, who's a pretty good, decent team right now.
Yeah.
They're at home too. I think this is a good spot for Mississippi State.
Good.
Second pick, Virginia. The 2-win Virginia Cavaliers -2.
Oh my God.
This is an interesting one because Virginia and Georgia Tech, they're playing each other and they have both had absolutely incredible runs recently. Virginia beat North Carolina and Georgia Tech has beat not only Miami, but they also beat North Carolina last week too. Unreal season for them. I think they're due for a bit of a letdown. They also, they have, I want to say, Clemson. After this week, Virginia -2 there.
Is Dabo on the hot seat?
Well, we're going to find out because my third pick is going to be the Clemson Tigers +3 versus Notre Dame.
Wow.
I know.
Wow.
Wow.
That's crazy.
I know.
The line to begin with is crazy, and the taking Clemson is crazier.
It's so crazy. It might just work.
It might.
And I love to hear that too, because it's like, it's so crazy And I think that's exactly what the people at Fred want you to think.
Yeah, it is.
It's
yeah,
so it is. Crazy. It might just work, Kluver. I'm taking Clemson. This is also Dabo's personal revenge game against Tyler from Spartanburg, calling him out on the radio. He's going to show him and all those fans who want him out what he's about.
They're fighting for a bowl game, brother.
They're fighting for a bowl game right now. Dabo's fighting for his life on radio shows now. Yeah. Did you listen to that, by the way?
I did, and him and Matt Campbell could be in a club together where they go after fans.
Just unreal stuff.
Just fucking fighting fans in a rough and rowdy style match.
But I think Clemson, they're not as good as they used to be, but I think this is a good spot from here. They get them at home. I think it's at night. I could be wrong, but I'm going to assume it's at night. And then also, they do get they were so close against FSU earlier this year. People forget about that. I'm still mad about Dabo, that idiot running stupid plays in overtime when they totally had a chance to win. But it's okay. I'm thinking this is Dabo trying to save his job. I'm taking Clemson +3. Like I told you to take the nausea medicine before. All right. If you're throwing up, it's your fault.
So I'm going to go to the betting channel real quick in the Discord because someone every week posts the largest lines or like where all the public money is, the most swayed public money bets. Go. And I wanted to see if the Notre Dame was on there. And sure enough, it is. The public, 89% of the public is on Notre Dame -3. And oftentimes on a 2020, you know, looking back, a lot of these public bets get fucked. They get bent. And so, wow. I actually feel like that could be the sleeper pick of the weekend, Grant.
Well, since Kevin is not here, I would like to give out some other picks as well.
Sure. Yeah.
Is that allowed?
Absolutely. We're 90 minutes into this thing. We might as well just marathon at this point.
You're getting like you're getting the dang Hobbit movies over here.
This is tape one of Titanic where you're going to have to tune in for tape two here coming up in a second.
Additionally, though, again, if we're talking trap, Arizona +3 with UCLA at home.
Why are they such an okay to good team this year?
They're sneaky good. They might be the best 5-3 team of all time. They were the best 4-3 team of all time. Last weekend they beat Oregon State. It's like Grant, your logic of letdown games could be this one is too. I don't care. The line's moving down.
I don't care.
The line's moved down from 3.5 down to 3 with less bets on Arizona.
Yeah.
It's going to be at 3 in the morning, but I'm taking Arizona anyway.
Jesus Christ. It probably will be at 3 in the morning. And also, will you stay up to watch that or do you go to bed?
I do stay up.
Oh my God.
You should have seen me I had Arizona versus USC a few weeks ago and I was at a bar till like 2 a.m. I'm the only person there.
They're
cleaning it up. They got the mops out and they're like, I guess leave the TV on.
They're talking about, they were talking about you in the back. They're like, there's this one guy in there and he's tuned into this football game bad. He must got a lot on the line for this thing.
I also, I'm very concerned heading into this weekend.
Okay.
Because I think our James Madison Dukes might be in trouble.
Oh no. Who are they playing?
They're playing the Georgia State Panthers, who have been very good this year. The fighting Georgia State Panthers.
What's the line there?
And JMU did not look good last weekend. They are 5.5-point favorites on the road.
Oof. A little scary. That is scary.
But I'm going to be rooting for JMU heavily anyway.
Oh, dude, this is a JMU podcast.
We're all about the Dukes here.
This is a JMU Dukes podcast. In fact, next week, the overlay is going to be purple.
How funny would it be if just on Monday, it's like, oh, actually, now we're just rebranding to JMU.
And Drake's back, and we're not talking about the Hawks at all. We're just talking about JMU, the Dukes, and why they deserve to be in the college football playoff.
I would love it. I don't want to take up any more time. Those are the bonus pick is Arizona.
Okay. I like that. I'm glad you gave us the people some bonus picks. People are going to love that in the betting segment in the Discord. If you're interested in the Discord or hearing the last hurrah of Drake, just go absolutely hellfire on the DHT this week. All of that can be found at patreon.com/washedupwalkons. We're appreciative of everybody that sticks around over there. And if you want Drake, you're a Drake fan, that's where you're going to have to get him from now on. Don't look at it as a cost, as an expense. Look at it as an investment to the kids. Because that's where your money's going when you sign up for stuff like that. You also get discounts on the merchandise, Christmas line coming soon. And the Discord benefits alone are, it feels like pretty worth it to me. So thank you to everybody for listening to the podcast.
We'll be back. Also Michigan State.
Michigan State.
They will defeat Nebraska.
Hopefully Kevin comes back on Sunday. Otherwise, this podcast just turned into a CrossFit guy and intern Gary podcast. And boy, the numbies would drop fast on that one, I think. And not because of you.
Some offense.
Well, or we just have to be better. We just make the product better.
There we go.
Love you all. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you next time. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.